Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Coming up, an evening of poetry and music celebrating the Raprary, Chicago's library, preserving rap and hip-hop as vital literary art forms. October 16th at the Poetry Foundation building in River North. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on BBC.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Federal funding ended October 1st, and now it's up to you to keep your favorite programs on the air. Every day this gap lingers, the shows and reporting you rely on are at risk. We've still got $400,000 left to close our funding gap. The programs and conversations you count on every day depend on your support. When you give now, you help close the gap and keep trusted, independent news here for Chicago. Make an affordable monthly gift online at wbez.org/donate.
One, two, one, one, one. Good evening.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. I am at the Third Baptist Church, 195th, at a dance hosted by the Southside Squares.
Going about to the partner, and a corner or two, head square through, and again about four.
It's a social club, and this is their motto.
Touch a quarter.
Square dancing is scoop friendship back. Set to music.
Pass through, out of my left, with the corner girl, walk in, hit her right on left, great. Bounce to the partner, corner two, stay right there. Good dancing.
It's a Thursday night at Southside Squares, and the folks I talked to were taken aback by the fact that I did not know how to square dance.
And do you know any square dancing?
I know nothing. I'm totally new.
You never even had it in school?
No, I mean, I know how to hustle. That's about it. One of these lovely ladies is Club Vice President Gloria Clay. She's been dancing for a long time.
35 years. But I started square dancing from line dance because you don't necessarily have to have a partner in squares.
Mm-hmm. What is your name and what do you do with Southside Squares?
My name is Florence Smith and I'm the treasurer.
I asked Florence about the thing you notice immediately when you walk in, the fashions.
We wear skirts, slips, and you want to look sharp.
So what do you love about it? What got you really hooked?
All the turns.
This is Judy Taylor. She's relatively new, only been dancing for 10 years.
And just the nuances of the dances and just trying to keep up and not mess the square up.
Chain down the line, girl, trade boy, hook with a turn.
In our last episode, we learned about a building called the Square Dance Center, a state-of-the-art venue in the northwest suburbs back in the heyday of square dance.
Wheel and deal.
And today, we're going to get the vibe of the local square dance scene, focusing on a group of dedicated black square dancers based here in Chicago. The thing you might notice first while you're listening to a square dance is the caller. That's the person on the mic yelling out instructions to the dancers. And despite the reputation square dancing has as more of a hobby for white people, calling has African roots. According to author Philip A. Jameson, he argues that square dance calling likely originated in West African traditions. And then it evolved as enslaved black people played music and called out European dance steps at plantation gatherings, which made them some of the earliest known callers and square dancing musicians. And all of the square dancers I'm talking to today are carrying forth that legacy, whether they realize it or not. including a woman everybody knows in the local square dancing community, Sandy Bryant. Slide through again. Then pass through and swing the corny lady around and promenade her up. She's a legendary caller. But before we talk to her, we're going to hear about how the Southside Squares came together. From dance teacher Larry Johnson.
Lawrence Johnson, everybody knows me as Larry. I have been dancing with Square Dance, this Square Dance Club, for 50 years.
Larry has done it all with the Southside Squares, including a stint as club president. But he says he initially got into square dancing when he was still a young man.
The first time I went to a square dance convention, I saw all these people jumping and hopping and looking around at them, and they looked so much older. So I said, well, how old are you? And they would tell me, oh, I'm in my 70s, I'm in my 80s. I said, I want to do that same kind of thing when I get that age. So I'm close. I'm 82 now.
Wow, I am shocked to hear you say that. You know, you like my mother. She's 71, and people always think she's 61. So, yes, good for you, good for her. Decades ago, Chicago had over 100 square dance social clubs, and many were black dance clubs on the South Side.
There was one called the Shy Squares, the Diamond Squares, the T Squares, the Horseshoe Squares, the Shy Horseshoe Squares.
But over time, Larry said the more seasoned dancers either stopped coming or they passed away. The beginners weren't signing up, and things were getting expensive.
They have to pay the caller. You have to pay for the place where you dance. And so those are the expenses that you have. And so as that got higher and higher, several of the clubs folded. And so we eventually just molded them together, and they all came together and came down under Southside Squares.
Larry also loves square dancing, and I kept hearing from a lot of folks, from the attire to the history to club leadership, that they take this thing very seriously.
Because one thing square dancing teaches you is etiquette. You are taught when you walk into a square, you never leave the square until the dance is over, no matter what, unless you pass out.
With square dancing, there's the dancers and then there's the caller. And you can't have one without the other.
Triple waves, boy ships, center wave.
The caller, who you're hearing right now, not only do they set the tone, they direct the whole dance.
I can't mention what I do. It becomes a 30-minute conversation.
And Sandy Bryant is one of the most celebrated callers.
I say I'm a square dance caller. You're what? How'd you get that? How did you get into it? What do you do? Explain to us. Can you call something now? I'm serious.
Wow. If you don't know square dancing, know this. Sandy is a big deal. And in a world where there are not that many callers to begin with, Sandy is also rare. She can call all 11 levels of square dancing, and she's a black woman, born and raised right here in Chicago.
It is my honor to present Harlow Lab's highest honor, the Milestone Award, to a lady who is still from the South Side of Chicago, Sandy Bryant.
What you're hearing is the governing body for square dance callers giving Sandy their Lifetime Achievement Award earlier this year. Have you encountered a lot of women callers over the years?
No, not a lot. Mm-hmm. Women's voices are higher, and they tend to be in the same timbre as a lot of the music being played.
I see.
So some of the times it's hard to hear for that reason. So a lot of women are not very popular doing this. Doesn't mean they don't have the ability, but they just don't have a natural voice. As you can hear, mine is very deep, and that works very well.
Sandy has been calling for 49 years. She got introduced to square dancing in the 1960s when she was only 8 or 9 years old.
A friend of our family who was a black lady was the square dance caller. She also was my Girl Scout leader. And of course, if you know square dancing, you know that you need boys. She was a teacher. And so she actually at the school taught the boys softball team, but told them they had to square dance in order to be on the team. Mm. And that's when we started. And it's been a continuous thing since then.
Sandy did all kinds of dance as a youngin, jazz, ballet, but then she took a long break until a few years after college.
I had friends that were traveling overseas, and I asked for what reason, and they told me they were going to call. I said, okay, I really want to do that.
Okay.
So that was my goal, was to call and to go to Japan. Well, I went a whole lot of places before I wound up going to Japan, but I did get there.
Sandy took to calling immediately, and it has taken her all over the world. Sweden, Denmark, Mexico. When I caught up with her, she had just gotten back from Germany. And through all of this, she says she did not see many other Black women involved.
And when I decided I wanted to do this professionally, there was the question as to whether I was going to be successful. Also, the fact that everyone had a preconceived notion of females and didn't want to dance to females. Mm. So there were a couple of African-American clubs on the south side of Chicago. So I basically started with that. But I got asked to come and do some other dances. And I said, all right, these people are going to, they're going to come out of curiosity, mm-hmm. whether or not I can do this, whether or not I can handle it. They're going to come back because I'm good.
I'm in love to come here and you wait in the ring. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Swing your girl and promenade the ring. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me.
Do you have to sing as a caller?
Yes. Well, you don't have to, but it is part of it.
I mean, can all callers sing?
No. No.
Left element with the ring. Can I just have one more romance with you? Swing promenade.
Some of the callers that are doing the beginner levels or the easier levels, the dancers like the singing. So, yes, you have to sing that. Rarely okay. is there a caller who does both. So I fit in another category there because I do it all.
I wanted to ask Sandy about a lot of things, including music. You might typically associate square dancing with country music. And you might be noticing that Sandy is not calling to a lot of country music.
I decided long ago that there's a particular beat, there's a particular timing, but it doesn't have to be country music. It can be anything. I don't call to country music. I don't like country music.
Touch a quarter, scatter, scoot, change.
I do call to classical music. Or jazz, or blues, or R&B.
Horseshoe turn, swing through.
I just don't like fiddles.
Sandy said when she was starting out as a caller, she could try different things in the Black square dance community that she was hesitant to try elsewhere until she knew it was successful.
So I started using R&B music through the African-American community, and they loved it. And we sometimes got a lot of Caucasians to come out and dance with us. Mm-hmm. And they liked it. And I said, ha ha. <You know?
laughs> Sandy has called for the Southside Squares, and she also calls for the Chi-Town Squares, which is a queer club on the north side. She said when Chi-Town Squares was getting started back in the 80s, they didn't have a caller yet.
They were dancing to records, to recordings, or whatever, not to a caller. And they said, they need a caller. I said, have them call me. So they called, and the guy introduced himself and said he wanted me to come and call for them. And I said, let me get my calendar. And he said, wait, I have to tell you something. I said, fine. He said, we're a gay club. I said, mm-hmm. I'm a Black caller. Do you still want me to get the calendar? So we're talking one minority explaining to another minority that yes. this is what's happening. And, you know, that was, they had been dancing less than 6 months, and I've called for them ever since.
This story with Chi-Town Squares kind of speaks to Sandy's own decades of personal experience, where sometimes people don't want to dance with you because of your identity.
It takes 8 people to get into a square and dance. Mm-hmm. the majority of people mix and mingle. You still have a few people that don't want to dance with you or don't want to touch you or don't want you to be in their square. So I've run into some problems. I ran into a problem with a man who didn't want to touch me in the square. So I think what happens then is the creative people go back and say, fine, I'll start my own. And so they start up their own and they become successful or very good at it or whatever. And I find that being a double minority, being a female and Black, I find that when we undertake something, we have to do it better. Because that's the only way we're going to be accepted sometimes. So we have to be better to be equal.
Sandy says that's one of the reasons she learned to call the highest level of square dancing. A friend of hers gave her some advice on this a while back.
And he said it was easier to call the higher levels, the upper part of this activity, because those people don't see color. They want the degree of difficulty and that's all they're concerned about. And you probably won't have any problems. So that was one of the things that stirred me to want to do all levels. I don't know if I would have gotten the same respect if I had narrowed my field to just the first few levels. Because the few times or a couple of times that I have experienced a problem, it has been at an event where they had lower levels.
Interesting.
So there's been little things like that.
If someone were to ask you, who is square dancing for? How would you answer that?
Ah, that is a question I've never been asked. That's interesting. I would say, I mean, at one point, people used to promote it as it was an activity for 8 to 80. You could do it with everybody. And I think that a lot of that is still true. It is a family-oriented type of dance. However, what we find is because youth learns so much faster than age-related people, it's hard to combine those two. It's hard to, you know, you take a whole family in and the kids are going to learn much faster than the adults and then they're going to get bored or they're going to start adding flourishes that are confusing to the adults or whatever. So I think there's a little bit of a division there.
I see.
But I really would like to see more young people, 20s, 30s, 40s, involved in the activity. The math minded individuals would love it. The puzzle minded individuals would love it.
Would you call yourself a math puzzle minded person?
Yeah, I was a math major.
Okay. What do you love about it? What is it about square dancing?
Square dancing itself, I love the puzzles. I love figuring it out. I love that. I love the people. I love the fact that, yes, it brings people together, people who may have never interacted with a minority, with another person of a different culture, of that kind of thing. I love that. Mm-hmm. I also love, I'm in a unique situation because I've been everywhere and everybody, especially everybody in the square dance world knows me. If I am anywhere in an airport and the plane is delayed or I have to spend the night or something, I can pick up the phone and I say, hey, this is Sandy. I'm stuck in. Oh, you are? We'll come and get you. And, you know, how long? You want to stay 2 days, 3 days or whatever?
Wow.
And I have no desire to retire anytime soon because I love what I do.
Sandy Bryant is a world-renowned and award-winning square dance caller. Sandy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And hopefully this will just pique some interest of people and they'll come square dancing.
Going about to the partner and a corner or two, head square through and again about four. Touch a quarter, scoop back.
This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Susie Ahn is our editor. Special thanks to the YouTube channels who provided us with the sound of those Sandy Bryant calls, including Dick Otis, Pyrotechnic Check, and R. Wells 8041.
Checking down the line, girl trade, boy hook with a courtesy turn. Pass through, do a wheel and deal.
And shout out to the caller at Southside Squares that you're hearing right now, Mark Hall.
Pass through, Alabama left with the corner girl, walk in, hit her right or left, great.
Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org or visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity.
Touch a quarter.
I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
Boy, run. Move eight to the middle and back. Touch one quarter. All eight circulate. Boy, run. Veer left. Girls trade. Everybody bend the line. Boogie eight to the middle and back. Do a right and left through. Turn them on around. Two ladies flutter wheel. Sweep a quarter more. Dive through. Pass through in the middle. Slide through. Pass through. Partner trade. Roll. Hit a right or left grain.
I call all 11 levels. I can teach all 11 levels, but I cannot teach you left and right. That is your job.
What happens when you say yes for an entire year? Join WBEZ on October 26th for an evening with Titan of Television Shonda Rhimes as she recounts lessons from her best-selling memoir, Year of Yes. Tickets at wbez.org/events.